political painting, what meaning does it have in a culture like ours, where people get their visual stimulation from TV, movies, and photographs, and art has become a chic form of investment? Leon Golub is a political artist who started to get a lot of attention in the 80s for his series of paintings of mercenaries and torturers, subjects one critic described as moral monsters. In Golub's 1981 painting, Interrogation, a naked man is hanging upside down. One interrogator is asking a question, while another holds a club ready to beat the prisoner. Gerald Maserati has just written a book about Golub's art. The book also considers the relevance of painting in today's world. It's called A Painter of Darkness. Leon Golub and Gerald Maserati are both with us. The first time Maserati saw one of Golub's shows, there was a warning on the gallery door. It said, "Please be advised that the current exhibition may be inappropriate for viewing by children." Maserati thought that was pathetic.
My immediate reaction was, "My God, this has been there's been so much that's gone on in modern art and modern painting in the last 75 to 100 years, that the idea that any thing that you could see in an art gallery would actually shock a child who's exposed to all kinds of violence on television or in movies, seemed to me, I took it as a kind of provocation, like a sort of a piece of theater, which turned out not to be true.
When did you decide that you were wrong?
About 15 seconds after I got in the gallery, and just was sort of shocked by the paintings.
Leon Golub, how did you start your series of paintings of torturers and mercenaries?
The reason I went into the mercenaries was I was interested in, and I have been interested in, I was then, and I continue to be interested in, the subject of power, political power, and how a nation or how individuals within a nation visualize the extensions of these of power. And very simply put, I felt I could portray it better through mercenaries than through regular soldiers, because the mercenaries are at the peripheries. You see, they're at the edges. They're at the point where one thing shifts into something else, where overt action shifts into covert action, where some of our secret motives are brought out into the open more or less.
And I guess it's because you're interested in power that in torture, for instance, you're focusing on the perpetrators, not on the victims.
Well, I'm actually focusing on both, but the victims don't have much choice. In other words, the victim plays the part of victim, and generally the way you can characterize them is through terror, fear. You know, victimage is a relatively passive, or maybe very passive, state. The person who is active is the sadist, the torturer, the person who has the choices in that situation. If you want to portray who they are, then you want to get into their complex motives. One doesn't have to get into the complex motives of the victim.
Now, the torturers and mercenaries that you paint, they're not generic people. I mean, these are individuals, and you really get their individuality quite well. Who are the people posing for you?
Well,
I'm making an assumption here that you're using models of some sort or another.
I use photographs. I have
Who?
Well, fishermen, boys and girls in love.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was a fisherman and I walked into a museum one day and saw that I was the one, you know, torturing someone with a bag over their head, I'd feel less
than
great about it.
It's changed. They're changed. In other words, I try to get certain more or less typical but individualized gestures, and I project myself into this, which is what artists and writers have always done. You project yourself into a situation and visualize it, and then you, in a sense, inhabit it, and yet you're distanced from it at the same time. In other words, my job is to somehow sense what these people are like. Now, it's not that difficult for me to do that if I start on the assumption, which I do, that these people are like you and I. They're not really any different.
Gerry Maserati, let me ask you, you say that you think most of the time political art doesn't work. Why
That's
not?
Right. I've never been particularly attracted to protest art. I think that What Leon is doing is different. I think he's making a kind of contemporary history painting. He's got a certain detachment from the events themselves. Someone who is making a poster to protest American military aid to El Salvador would not want to make an image that was in some ways as ambiguous and complex and ultimately as ambivalent as Leon's images are. If I wanted to end American military aid to El Salvador, I would certainly focus, say, on the victims. I might use certain types of language as well as pictorial elements. I wouldn't want to have images of torturers that seemed in some ways humanly complicated.
Leon Golub, how do you see the function of your political art? Do you want to change minds with it or affect people on an emotional level?
Oh, sure. But that's a kind of big program, you know? I would say that artists are part of the consciousness industry. In other words, there's stuff going on out there. There are events going on out there. And somehow we're involved with it. And I want to, in a way, put in my own claim for what is happening today and make a report on the contemporary world. I think of art as, in a sense, a report on the state of civilization at any given time, okay? And I am trying to bring in something which I think has been at least partially, if not more than partially, left out, that art has been a relatively protected enclave in let's say, the 20th century. And it's left out our political world. And I think it's a huge gap.
Leon Golub, there are times when realism seems to go out of favor, let alone political art. Were there times in your life when you felt that it was difficult to get your political art shown? In other words, times when you thought that the subject matter of your art was getting in the way of reaching an audience or getting a gallery?
Yes, of course. Political art is not attractive in a commodity-oriented art world. In other words, there aren't too many stockbrokers who want to come home at the end of a day, it's been a long day, and think they're crashing in Wall Street, for example, or something else, or think they're going well, so on, want to come home and have a drink before a 10-foot painting of mine of such subject matter, you see. It's much more pleasant to have this drink in front of other kinds of work, or even a blank wall. So you have to find those arenas, those individuals, and they certainly do exist, who, for whatever reasons, are willing to view this work and accept it.
You know, one of the questions Jerry Maserati raises in his book about you, Leon Golub, is what does it mean when, you know, paintings of torturers and mercenaries end up selling to somebody like Charles Saatchi, who's a very, very wealthy art collector, and a lot of people say that he sets the trends of who the next hot artist is going to be, because if he's investing in that artist's sales are going to really go up, and the prices that they get are going to go up. But Saatchi runs a really big advertising company in England, and he's done campaigns for P.W. Botha, for Margaret Thatcher. So when someone whose politics are so different in a way from the kinds of politics that your paintings are about, how does it make you feel? Do you care who buys your work?
I care and I don't care. In an ideal world, maybe only certain individuals would be buying the work. Who knows? But it's not an ideal world, and I don't know that Saatchi is any worse or necessarily better than, let's say, the trustees of a museum, you know, in a major city in the United States or elsewhere who would buy my work. In other words, I am not capable, nor am I interested in putting a means test on these individuals, because if I do it to one person, I'm going to have to do it to others.
Jerry Maserati, I wonder if this question gives you problems as a writer, so as someone who writes about art but doesn't paint or sculpt.
Well, you know, I'm, I can be ambivalent about the market for art. I think that it in the 1980s, the market became so fevered that it tended to become a kind of discourse in itself, and for people who were writing about art, it pushed us to the margins. It sort of was its own conversation about art, and that was a problem. But the fact is, I'm ultimately much more comfortable with a market for paintings, that is, paintings sold in galleries to collectors who ultimately get them before the in front of the public one way or another, than I am with artists living on government grants or something like that. Ultimately, Charles Saatchi gets this work of Leon's before the in front of the public. I'm much more comfortable with that than if it was all done by the government. And these are precisely the paintings that no government would be anywhere would be comfortable with. So the market, in its own sort of lurching and troubling way, works. I can't think of any other better system.
Well, I thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Writer Gerald Maserati and painter Leon Golub. Maserati's new book on Golub is called A Painter of Darkness, Leon Golub and Our Times. It's published by Viking. This is Fresh Air.